Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Welcome back to Right on Four Corners. I'm Delcherie Gladden. I'm a USA Today bestselling author of over 30 published novels. And on the show this week, I have Summer Macon, who is a local illustrator, among other various pursuits. She's just all around talented. We're going to talk to her today about her work as an illustrator and getting into that field and the projects that she's been working on. Summer, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Summer. I've been an illustrator for about 5 years now. I've been a graphic designer for, I want to say, about 15, 16 years. And yeah, that's it.
And this is one of various things you do. I know you're also a ceramicist, and at one point you were doing physical therapy. How did you get into illustrating as one of your artistic pursuits?
Well, it's something I've always loved. Like, even as a kid in elementary school, I remember when they had a book fair. I'm not even sure if they still do that, but they had a book fair, and it was like magic to me when I went in there. And I just loved seeing all the illustrations. And then I kind of forgot about all that when I got older until I ran across another illustrator's blog online and then realized, oh, wow, I can do that as a living. So I kind of got into it more for fun to develop my skills and then went into graphic design because I was told that that would make more money than pursuing illustration. And then so my family went through some pretty traumatic things about 5-6 years ago. And so there was a class offered online to teach children's book illustration. And so I just dove into it and yeah, I've been doing it ever since.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about the class for someone who might be interested in doing the same thing, what that was like and what the process was.
It's through Make Art That Sells through Lilla Rogers, and she teaches you the important stuff that art directors and agents look for, which is you want to make sure that you're good at illustrating different emotions on your character, different poses and different scenes. And then once you build up your portfolio, then she teaches you how to email the agents or the art directors to try and get more work.
It was really a class that focused on both sides, kind of the artistic side and the business side a little bit.
Yeah, they're both just equally as important as each other.
They are, and I think that's something anyone in creative arts, that's a hard thing to kind of come up against and realize that you're doing the art part of it, the part you love, but then you also have to learn the business side of it, which maybe is not the part you love.
I could be just as talented as I am right now, and if I didn't know the business part of it, I wouldn't go anywhere. I would still be, you know, just drawing for fun and not making any money off of it. So it's super important to learn all that part, that stuff of it. And to me, it's actually kind of fun because it's a challenge. I look at it as kind of a game.
Searching out different projects. And you work with an agency, right?
Yes, the Bright Agency. So what I did was once I got through the class, I remember the teacher told us that you'll never feel ready and to just do it. So I was like, okay. So I took that advice to heart and had my website going with my portfolio. And I found every illustration agency I could find online, made a huge list of them, and applied to every single one of them. And I was super lucky because the Bright Agency accepted me, and they're one of the best agencies that there is.
Oh, that's awesome. And that's something that I think probably can feel really overwhelming to people to try to take that step to put themselves out there. And it's always nerve-wracking, I think, to have your work critiqued.
Yeah.
How did you get over that fear?
Well, I guess being a graphic designer for so long has kind of made it to where I don't take things personally when it comes to my work, because I understand that every person views art differently. Every person has their own wants for that art to look. So if you keep that in mind, don't take it personal, and keep working at it, then you'll eventually find someone who matches your style.
That's great advice. And style, I did want to ask you about that. I've seen a lot of your work. I love seeing it when you post. And you do have a particular style that you've developed, and it's really cute and adorable, and I love them.
Thanks.
How do you go about, or what is the process, I guess, of matching up with an author and their project and your work and your style? Do you have to adapt your style very much, or is it kind of like finding the right pair to start with?
If you have an agent, they kind of just advertise for you, your style, and then the publisher, the art director, if they feel that your style goes well with their story that they've picked, then they'll choose you. But most of the time, I always thought this was kind of strange, but they do not like the author to choose the illustrator. So usually the author, like, they'll send their book into a publisher, and then if they accept it and they like it, then they will be the ones to go find the illustrator to match them up. And so, yeah, I don't ever really have to worry about my style for things, because usually they take care of it. But if I didn't have an agent, I would suggest going to publishers' websites and seeing what type of style they normally choose. And then if your style kind of matches that, then that would probably be a good one to submit to.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. And so working with an agent as an illustrator definitely sounds like it takes some of the legwork out, that you're not having to go pursue a ton on your own.
It definitely does. And I was told in that class that it's actually extremely hard to get an agent. So if you're having a hard time getting an agent, you can still get work without one. And actually, I'm friends with an illustrator who lives in Canada. She's been doing it for a long time. And she doesn't have an agent, but she is really, really good. She could get an agent, but she chooses to find all her work herself. So there's definitely ways to do it that way.
And that, I'm guessing, you know, just querying individual publishers more so than finding authors to work with directly?
Yeah, you definitely, unless you go through self-published authors, then you could find work that way. But if you want to find, you know, the bigger projects, then I would say go through the publishers. Publishers and art directors and all that good stuff. And there's actually a book. Let me see if I can... I think it's called Children's Book Writer's Market or Children's Book Illustration Market. If you Google those, you'll eventually find it. But it's a really good book, and it has a list of all the publishers and usually like the contact information, and kind of gives you tips and tricks on how to write, how to send in if you're a writer, send in your manuscript and what they're looking for. And if you're an illustrator, what they're looking for.
I know there's quite a few, you know, really talented artists out there, and I think taking that big step of like, how do I actually connect and start putting my work out into the world is a, you know, something that a lot of people kind of get stuck on.
Yeah, it's funny because I think a lot of artists think it's their work that's keeping them back, when actually it's just the business part of it, just putting yourself out there, like you said. And so I guess my biggest advice is just go for it. Don't worry. Tell yourself before you start, you're not going to take it personal, because you will get rejections. I did. I got, I can't remember how many, but quite a few rejections from the other agencies. And I didn't take it personal. I just kept going. And sometimes when they reject you, they'll say why. And I think one of them said, my style didn't match theirs. And now that I look back at it, it really didn't. So you can learn from the rejections too, to grow. And that's kind of what I mean by it's sort of like a game too. You can keep growing your artwork when you get rejected, because you'll kind of learn why.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that is something that a lot of writers face as well, trying to query different publishers and agents, maybe that they're like, oh, this is a really, you know, well-known agent or publisher that I like. But if you don't necessarily fit with what they're looking for, it's not anything negative against the person. It's just, it may not be a good fit, even if you really like that agent or publisher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I guess that's the other thing is don't get set on one particular agent or publisher or anything like that. Just set a goal to apply to 10 or something. And I remember when I very first started, before I got an agent, I would send out stuff. I think I would make a list of like 20 different publishers, and I would send them snail mail to try and get work that way too. If you just try for one, then your chances are going to be a lot lower compared to if you try for like 20.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to say, there's another illustrator I'm friends with on Instagram, and she's really good, but I noticed she didn't have an agent. And so I asked her, I was like, why don't you have an agent? And she said she just never tried. So I encouraged her and she tried and she got one. So I think that is what holds everybody back, is just that fear of rejection.
It's a tough one to get over.
Yeah.
I think making those connections and meeting other people in the industry can really help lower some of that fear and realize it's not as scary or overwhelming or awful as you might think it is.
Yeah, it's part of the process. You're going to get rejected no matter what. And I kind of think that's with life in general, in any situation. Mm-hmm. You're going to have rejections, and that's just part of it.
It is. And you grow from it. Like you said, you learn from each one, and hopefully you get some feedback on why. But if not, you know, just learning how to deal with that is really important too, I think.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yep.
So tell me about some of your projects that you've worked on. So I know you've won multiple awards, especially I think for the ABCs of Kindness. That's one that seems to be one of your really popular ones that you've worked on, because it's really adorable.
Oh, thank you. So that has been the most popular one. I haven't won any awards for it, but I haven't tried to submit it for any awards either. My first book I ever did was called Up and Down Mom, and it's about living with a parent who has bipolar disorder. And I didn't write it, but they chose me to illustrate it. So I did, and then they encouraged me to submit it for the World Illustration Award. And I was blown away that it actually was longlisted for it. So that was a cool encouragement for illustrating. And then... And speaking of rejections, I have submitted another book to that same awards program since then, and I didn't even get longlisted. So that just happens, and that's just part of it. The ABCs of Kindness, it's done really well, and it's turned out to be this huge series of books, which is really exciting and fun. And one of them, the ABCs of Kindness, was actually chosen as a bestseller, or it was a bestseller on Amazon for a little while, and a lot of them are editor's choice too.
Well, that's really cool. And what was the process of working on the ABCs of Kindness, especially because it was such a favorite of so many people? Tell me about how you approached that and what it was like working on that project.
What's really cool is most people don't know this, but when they send me a book idea or a book that they want me to do, then I either accept it or I don't. And then when I accept it, they send me what's called a brief. And so the brief is usually just the text and then how they envision the art. And so a lot of the time, you don't even have to think about it very much about how to put the art in there, because with the ABCs of Kindness, they would send me, how do I explain it, like a PDF with all the pages and then the text on the pages. And then they would put circles, like blocks of color in there to show where they wanted the characters. And then they would say what they want the characters doing. So that was pretty neat.
Oh, that is cool. So they block it out for you. And then how much license do you have to kind of play with that and develop it into what you envision?
So as long as I'm kind of using their guides of like a mouse holding a flower. I can draw it however I want, as long as that style goes along with the series that I've been doing. And then I just make kind of a sketch of it, and then I send it back to them. And then they send me feedback based on that, and I make whatever changes they suggest and send it back again. And then usually we go to the color stages after that.
A lot of feedback along the way, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, there is a lot of feedback, and there's that thing about rejection. You're going to get feedback of people saying, you know, I don't like that. That's not really working. Can we try this instead? And that's where you just have to realize that they're the professional ones in the market, and they know what people are looking for. And look at it as an opportunity to grow your portfolio even more.
That sounds a lot like working with an editor when, you know, you're writing a story or any type of text, that kind of back and forth and deciding what you're going to listen to, what maybe you might push back on a little bit.
Yeah.
It's an interesting process.
Yeah, and I think with writing, that would make sense that you would push back more because it's so kind of personal, your writing. But for art, I rarely push back. There was one recently that I did. It was probably one of my hardest projects because they wanted me to change so much in it, which most people usually don't want you to change a lot. But they've basically almost changed my style of it. So that was kind of hard, and even my husband said, you know, you should probably talk to him about it because that is your name going out there, and you want to make sure your best work goes out. So you run into that every once in a while.
Well, that's interesting because from what you were saying, you know, they kind of pick the illustrator for the style and choosing a style that's going to work, and then to come back and kind of be like, no, we want you to change a whole bunch of things.
Yeah,
that
was a really rare one. I'd say that's probably the first time that's happened. And even my agency, they emailed me and were apologizing because they said it was so hard. It was a really hard project, but it was a big one. But I guess what it was, they hadn't had much experience with illustrators and making books and everything. So I think that was the main issue with it.
Okay. So it's kind of a new learning process for them as well.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's got to be.
But the cool thing is, if somebody makes too many changes, you can request, I think it's called, I forget the name of it, but it's for if they ask for too many revisions, you can ask for more money because it's work, right? It's like any other job. So if you're putting in more hours, you can ask for more money. And that place actually did end up paying a little more, which was great.
Well, that's good. Have that agreement of you're asking for more than what I originally agreed to. So,
yeah,
there should definitely be extra compensation there.
Yeah.
That sounds like probably your most challenging project that you've been through.
Yeah, it definitely was. But I do remember my first project, the Up and Down Mom, that one was very challenging because it was my first one. I was still learning the ropes of how it all worked. So I think it was challenging because I was pretty hard on myself with it. Instead of like now I'm not hard on myself when I make a sketch. I just do it, send it in. I look at, am I happy with it? If I'm happy with it, I send it in. And then they'll email me back, make changes, and then I make them. But with that one, I think I was like more worried not about what I like, but what they like. And so I think that is what probably made it hard for me.
Yeah, and that makes sense to you that, you know, your first time putting your work out there in a, you know, contracted professional setting, that you're going to stress about the little things a lot more.
Yeah, I think it was like, I'd finally made it, right? Like I was an illustrator, professional. And so I put all this pressure on myself. I was like, well, now I got to do really good. When in reality, they chose me for what I was already doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's building that confidence over time. And I think the first time I worked with an editor on one of my books, it was, you know, a lot of like, well, they're saying this is what I should do. I guess I should you know, do it, whether it was fixing little grammar things or changing elements of the story. And, you know, that first experience, it was just like, oh, they know all the answers. I just have to listen to everything that they say. And now it's a little bit more of like, yeah, I know what I'm doing too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I don't think that this is, you know, and like you said, it's a little different with, you know, writing versus with illustration, I think, and that makes sense. But I think building that confidence over time that like, yeah, I do know what I'm doing. I can put something out that I feel confident about and not, you know, stress over every little thing, I think.
Yeah, because that's why they hire you, right? They hire you because you're good at what you do. So if they hire you, then you definitely have a say in the direction that you want it to go. But at the same time, with illustrations, which I'm sure is the same with writing, they know the market, kind of like a business part that we don't know so much about. And that's kind of where I guess I just trust them that way.
Yeah. It's a lot for one person to try to keep track of everything, to work on your art and your craft and know every trend in the business.
Yeah,
you know, it's like probably with illustrators as well as writers, like, you know, you try to keep an eye on things and just in general kind of watch what some of the new stuff is, you know, styles or genres or things. But it's a lot of time to be an expert on all of that as well.
It is. They actually have whole departments that work on style trends and everything. And in that class, we learned about something called, I think it's called style or trend boards. And some of the companies or agencies will make these, and they're worth a lot of money because they put so much work into them. And I don't know exactly how they come up with them, but I guess they have some type of formula to figure it out, and they're worth a lot. And I think people pay a lot of money to buy them so that they can know what's trending to send to their artists to use.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. You know, that's a lot of research and trying to predict, you know, what's going to stick. Because it's a big time investment to illustrate a project. And you want to make sure that you're going to be sticking with a style that's going to be popular by the time the project's done.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, now that I say that, you don't want to, you don't need to worry about style when you're illustrating. It's more, I think that's more of the agents, like their area, the agents or the art directors. Because if you worry about the style, it's going to be stressful and you'll start to change the style of your work when they hired you for your style.
Yeah, that was something I actually wanted to ask you about. If you've ever felt like you've had to adjust your style and what you do to stay within trends, or if you've kind of gotten to a spot where this is what I do, it worked, it's successful, I'm going to stick with it.
You know, I've kind of, style is a tricky thing. People always ask me about it. And from what I've learned with my experience, the best way to develop your style is to look at other artists' work, and you're not stealing it. You're looking at other artists' work and you're picking out, what do you like from their style? Do you like the textures in it? Do you like the style of eyes, round eyes or dot eyes? Do you like big hair or a little bit of hair? And kind of put that into your own work. And I don't think that anyone can really steal someone else's style unless they're copying like a piece of their work completely, like the scene, the characters and everything. So as long as, it's hard to explain, but yeah, you definitely don't want to steal other people's artwork, but you do need to look at other people's artwork for inspiration. And I think everyone kind of moves forward in a universal style that way, if that makes sense. Kind of keeps you on trend naturally.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think it's similar with a lot of writers reading. You have to keep expanding your reading knowledge and just your awareness of what other authors are doing and reading critically. And that's probably similar with like looking at other illustrators, doing it with a critical eye and saying, you know, what do I like about this? Why do I like it? Why would someone looking at this or reading this like that? And then taking those little bits and pieces from lots of different sources. And as you incorporate all of that, yeah, I think that helps you develop your own style and voice and look. And if you kind of close yourself off too much, I think you lose some of that.
Right. And I think the most important thing is for you to love what you do. Because if you don't, other people will sense that in it. Like, you can tell you're trying too hard in kind of pushing yourself towards a direction that you're not used to and you don't really like, but you're trying to fit in, I guess, and fit that trend that's going on. But in that class I took, she would always say, people buy your joy. And it makes perfect sense. If you're making something and you start to not enjoy it, that probably means you're pushing yourself in the wrong direction with it.
I think that's great advice. That's a great way to look at it, that people buy your joy.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's great for anyone to follow probably in anything that they're doing.
It's very true, yeah.
So what are you working on now? I know you may not be able to say specifically if it's things that haven't been released, but what is on your slate for this year and what are you focused on?
So I have my list in front of me. I have, I think, six books. I just finished one, so five really that I'm working on right now. And I wish I could say more. I have a lot to say about all of them, but I can't.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah,
the ones you're
excited
about, it sounds like.
I can tell you two of them are a continuation of two books that I've done in the past, so a series. And one of them is for a self-published woman, and I'm really excited about that one. That one, she should announce it pretty soon, and then I'll be able to talk about it. One I just finished was for a client in the Middle East, and that was really interesting because they open up books opposite from how we open them. So I had to think backwards on illustrating.
That would be an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
You have other pursuits outside of illustration. You're kind of hoping to get back into, are you going to have time to venture out and do some other stuff as well?
I hope so. My husband and I and my mom, we all make pottery. That's a lot of fun. That's usually something we do like in the spring and the summertime. I mentioned I've been a graphic designer for about 15 or 16 years. I don't know if you know who Ditch Witch is. I make the interfaces that go on their phones or on the machines for them to use. Normally, I just do the art part of it with a little bit of coding, but it looks like I might start doing more coding soon. So I'm trying to teach my artist brain to work on the left side instead of the right side, and it's really hard.
I bet, yeah. Oh, yeah. That sounds really interesting, though. Good challenge for you.
Yeah, thanks. Some good advice I heard for artists who work from home is you should go get a job where you just work like one day a week in town. That way you kind of get a dose of reality again. I thought that was good advice.
That is. It's nice to get out and interact.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of appreciate what you do too. Because you know how with every job, it becomes a job and you don't appreciate it as much as when you first started.
I just wanted to say thank you, Summer, for taking the time to talk with me and let us know a little bit more about illustrating. And
well, thanks for having me. It's been really fun to talk about it and to help other people navigate it all.
And where can people find you?
If you're on Instagram, you can go to Summer Macon Art. That's SummerMaconArt. That's usually where I post everything. You can find my books on Amazon or just online.
All right. Well, I wish you good luck with your upcoming projects and everything else you have going on. Love to have you back.
Thanks. That'd be great. I appreciate it.
Do Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.